thing that happened in Texas, like the awful scandals, things that are being uncovered, politicians and others, and then the international things that are happening, North Korea and all of these things. And these threats never seem to get resolved. In addition to all of that, there are personal things in our lives that can often bring fear and unrest if we allow the enemy at any space in our thoughts. As a nation, we're not listed among those that are the happiest, even though we're among those that are most powerful and the most wealthy. We have more opportunity, we have more resources, and more agencies to help us than any country in the world. Amazingly, I read that one psychologist says that the average child today exhibits the same anxiety as the average psychiatric patient in the 50s. Wow. This doesn't say, of course, that Christian children have to be this way or are this way, but that's the state of the nation. And mental illness is in epidemic proportions.
Yes, it is.
So I want to talk to you today about overcoming worry. Yeah. And I want you to see a video that I think will explain a lot of things to you from an important individual standpoint. Going to take it to the bank now. Got to know for sure where your bone is. That's one of John and my favorite. We've watched it many times as when it was running as a commercial. And I thought, you know, this is the thing. On your mind, on your mind, on your mind. Until you can find some place to get peace of mind. All you're going to do is worry, worry, worry. Philippians 4, 5 through 7 is a revelation. God has really shown us how to deal with worry. And how to be overcomers. The scripture says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Literally, this says, do not be perpetually worried. Now, as Jane has already mentioned this morning, who's going to be phony and act like, I never worry? Well, you're not real.
That's right.
Of course you worry. You wouldn't even be intelligent. Excuse me, I didn't mean to sound that way. But when there's real present danger, you ought to worry until you get released from that, get an answer, and know how to get out of it. But you're not to live in perpetual worry. That is unhealthy. And we all have times we feel a sense of anxiety, but if we live with anxiety, we've lost our peace.
Right.
Times of anxiety may come, but it doesn't need to dominate our lives.
That's right.
I learned a way to use this verse when John was having heart surgery back in 2003, I think it was, 2004. He was having open heart surgery, and I'm thankful that God gave me this verse and taught me how to pray with confidence. I made my request known to him every time worry would come to me. And I understood that when I would fear and when I would worry, when I would doubt, when I would dread, I would just, with thanksgiving, thank you, Lord, I have a promise. Thank you, you're a healer. Thank you, you tell me you'd be with me always. And I thank you that you're going to take care of John, and we're going to have the victory and have another testimony of your great faithfulness. Every time I thought to worry, instead, I prayed that prayer. Do not be anxious. Don't give yourself to worry. Don't fret. But pray with thanksgiving, not just praying. The scripture clearly says with thanksgiving. Make your request known. Tell God what you need, what you want. The results will be the peace that passes understanding. When things are beyond our understanding, God has an answer so that we can walk in peace. It's our hearts and minds that are to be kept. The heart is where the emotions are seated, and the mind is the depository of our thoughts. So if you keep your heart and your mind, you're keeping your emotions and your thoughts. Did you know some people have, they live all their lives and don't learn that they're in charge of their emotions? You know, some people will never have a stroke or heart attack. They're just carriers. But the grace, the peace of God passes understanding.
Yes.
One of the things we must learn is we don't have to understand everything. We certainly don't have to know why everything happened. But we keep giving it to God with thanksgiving. We make our request known unto God. And He will grant to us the peace that passes understanding. Often it's not possible for us to change the situations that trouble us. But Paul, who was imprisoned at the time he wrote this, you'd think he was at Disneyland. He was so happy. That he wrote this to the Philippians, it gives us revelation concerning God's way to overcome worry and anxiety. I want you to know it's nothing like the world's way.
That's right.
The world thinks you have to go to a movie. You have to invite somebody and unload it off on them. Or you have to do many various things. Eat. Some people eat as an answer to all of their problems. You know that it does. It shows, you know. And so you can tell that these people have found this way. It doesn't overcome anything. It just gets your mind off of your present problem. But don't forget the term with thanksgiving. It's so important. Having a thankful heart is the basis of being free from anxiety. Paul tells us getting ourselves free has to do with our emotions and our thoughts. Not so much getting free from what's happening to us, but getting ourselves free from our thoughts and our emotions. He tells us that our prayer is to be made with thanksgiving. Gratitude is a tremendous power and sets our minds and hearts free. I'm thinking about the protective power of gratitude.
Yes.
A lot of people don't know where to run to. They're just always leaving themselves an open target. Did you know sometimes it's smart to hide? When people are not grateful without knowing it, they give themselves over to the very things that they may be anxious concerning. Romans 1:21 says, because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Many years ago, a family named the Camerons from Scotland came here and ministered at the church. And it was the first time I'd ever heard anybody say this, that what causes people to fail in life is that they're not thankful. And I didn't realize how important it was, but verse 28 and 32 of that same chapter says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, weren't thankful, God gave them over to a reprobate mind and to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with unrighteousness, this is what happens to unthankful people. Being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. How do these things, being unthankful to God, going to cause you to fall into these sins? Well, if you're not thankful for the wife you have, that's what might cause you to end up in fornication or adultery. Maliciousness. People treat other people badly when they're not thankful for what they have. Full of envy. Unthankful people are always wanting what somebody else has. But he even adds murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters. Imagine not being thankful causing you to be a backbiter. Well, yeah. You're going to backbite the people that you wish you had what they have. Why don't you try getting in line the way they did to get it? There's usually a road to be traveled to qualify for whatever things people get. And the people that are jealous are usually the ones that weren't willing to get on that road. But there's a price to be paid for anything of value. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents without understanding, covenant breakers without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. It's so important to choose to be a thankful, grateful person. You know that you can choose your thoughts. Do you know this? Well, I don't, you know, this just came to me, you know, I just thought this. And you know, it's what's inside of you is what generates your thoughts. Two people can see the same thing and think two different things about it. Somebody might think that guy won't do right, and someone else looking at it says that man can't do right. A lot of difference. You can choose your thoughts. Philippians 4:8, continuing on out of Philippians, Paul in prison says, finally, verse 8, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You can just as easily turn your thoughts when you begin to get those judgmental, critical, negative thoughts. You can choose to think something else. Now, I tell you that. I tell my mind, now quit thinking that, now start thinking this. And sometimes when I can't sleep at night, I was having a real battle not long ago. And I wasn't able to go to sleep, and a person kept coming to mind, and the Lord kept telling me this and that. Not the devil. The devil, I meant to say, not the Lord. Kept telling me this or that, or my flesh, one. And coming up with ideas. And really what I wanted was not to think about this. But it kept coming to me because I was a little bit concerned and worried about it. And I'm sure imagining some things. Since I didn't understand it, I was trying to satisfy my intellect, I think, in the whole thing. And finally I thought, you don't know the answer to this. You don't know why this happened. You don't know what's going on here. So why do you keep thinking about it? And I couldn't seem to get it out of my mind. So I just started singing this song in my mind. Aren't you glad, honey, that I sing quietly at night? This old man, he played too. He played knick-knack on my shoe with a knick-knack, paddywhack, give a dog a bone. This old man came rolling home. See, and I just thought, it's better than counting sheep is really dull. I'm just saying to you, you can fight that battle in your mind. And I promise you, if you'll just let it go, then you won't be worried about things that you don't understand. Showing thankfulness. Now, the scripture says, if with thanksgiving we'll make our request known to God. And it's very difficult for some of us. Maybe some of us have not really been taught to be thankful. I love it when I see people modeling thankfulness. I said to Charles this morning when he came in, he was a couple of minutes late. And he said, I'm sorry to be late. And I said what one of my professors in Bible college taught me. I said, Charles, it's a pleasure to see you at any time. Aren't we so accustomed to people not being thankful to see us because we didn't do it the way they wanted it done? My family was hard on lateness. And through the years, I overcame it. When you take those little tests that show, you know, melancholy, sanguine, choleric, what's the other one? Phlegmatic. I never remember that one because I don't have any of that. But, you know, if you, that sanguine part of a person, which I've got an area of that, it's good in that it likes people, enjoys people, you know, is usually not afraid of people. All those kind of things are helpful. But it also is born without a clock. Now, if you've got other parts of your temperament that make up for that, that's fine. You've got a melancholy part, they were born with 6 clocks. And they want to be on time, and they want everybody else to be on time. In fact, that could be some of those thoughts that will come up that you have to get out of your mind. And so I just, when my professor said that to me that day, I thought, wow, he made me feel good for being a failure. Isn't that wonderful? You can change your thoughts. You can change your responses to things. And it puts you in a completely different category. If we are thankful, thankful for what we have, thankful for the people God has given to us, thankful for our family, for our spouses, for our children, for our parents. Judson Cornwell used to say, unless we make known our thanksgiving, it's only thanks thinking. You have to bring it forth before you've given any thanksgiving for something. Well, you know, I appreciate things. I don't say much about it. Well, say something. Give thanksgiving. Don't just be thankful. Give thanksgiving. That's what the scripture says all through it. You're welcome. Did you just have that discussion this morning before you came to church? G.K. Chesterton made this statement, which I really like. Think about it. I would maintain that thanksgiving is the highest form of thought, and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder. Say it again. I would maintain that thanksgiving is the highest form of thought, and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder. You see, when people who still appreciate, still are somewhat in awe of the fact Jesus saved them, set me in a church where the Holy Ghost is allowed to work and move, and anointed word is preached, and we worship in spirit and in truth, be awed by that all the time, enough to be thankful and to be grateful. We don't have to be perfect. Everybody doesn't have to do everything right for you to continue to be grateful for them. Psalm 96, 8 and 9 says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. There's so many places in the scripture. I might even preach while we're still in this month how to show God thanksgiving. Because the scripture is full of it. The Old Testament speaks of all kinds of offerings. Meat offerings, meal offerings, wave offerings, sin offerings. In the scripture, when people were thankful for whatever God had done, they brought him offerings. And we should show our gratitude to every person, not just to God, but to each other. Now, I think that staying free from tension, 1 Peter 5:2 says, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. When the Lord sets you free from tension, that's because he has given you the peace that passes understanding. Way back a long time ago, flying used to make me nervous. And I knew I had to come to the other side of that because I had a lot of flying to do. And I read a book about flying and how not to have these anxious feelings about it. And one statement in there was really helpful to me. It says, you can't be tense and relaxed at the same time. Make up your mind to be relaxed. Take a deep breath and relax. And Dr. Thicket used to get nervous about flying, you know. She would immediately start speaking in tongues and hanging tight to the arm of the chair or to your hand or whatever she could get. And she'd turn to me and say, we'll be all right, won't we? I remember one day she said to Judy, how can you sit and read the paper with this going on? If we cast all our care upon Him because He cares for us. I mean, have you ever thought about just give it to Jesus? Let God have this thing that you can't handle. And don't take it back away from Him. Lord, I believe that You are going to fix this. I believe You're going to show me what to do about this. I believe that the situation is going to get in the way that it needs. I believe You're a miracle working God. I don't have any idea what You might do, but I'm going to roll it off onto You. He bears our pains and carries our sorrows too, according to Isaiah 53. And we can throw that off on Him. He wants to just come and, you know that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus? All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. What I just love the privilege that I have of just saying, oh, Jesus, You know I've got this problem with this right now. I don't know what to do about this. And I lay it out there and say, now I roll this off on You. Now, Holy Spirit, I'm open. I'm listening. What do You have to say? And let Your word speak to me, Lord, about this thing. Don't try to carry these things yourself. Worry will kill you. As Carol Noy told us that back in the healing tent days, people were going around, so many people really were being healed. It was really sort of a wonderful thing that happened there. But she said that there was one fellow that said that his nerves were killing him. And the healing minister prayed, I cast every nerve out of your body. Well, nothing else had worked. Another man stood to give a testimony and said, I've done been healed of brucellosis and empitaloralis. Brucellosis and empitaloralis. I don't want anybody to go home sad today. And I want you to hear from Jesus what He has to say about this whole thing. Is everybody ready? Jesus laid out a plan that's as simple as can be. But our yes buts, because of the culture we live in, very few people can just accept this and go with it. Because we have embellished in our minds what it all is that we need to the point that we don't know anymore the difference between our wants and our needs. Is that right? I did hear recently there was a discussion about doing an investigation like they did when they proved that cigarette smoking was habit forming, and the tobacco companies had to pay billions of dollars once it was finally proven. But the cigarette people, the tobacco people, knew that it was habit forming, but they tried to hide it. But openly, the people who invented Facebook acknowledge that it's addictive and that they set it up to be that way. Now, we all know I always have to give this caveat. What kept passing through my mind was cadaver. Now, I said, I need to get that out of my mind and get the right word in it. give this caveat. Is we always have to say we can do a lot of good with it, like all the advertisement we got from our wonderful festival that we had. Someone told me there's 2,700 people right here in our immediate area saw all of that good stuff about what a great time we had here, and let them know that they can come again. That's all that stuff is good and what we use it for. But children, not only children, adults get addicted to it. And you know, you'll see a little child, he's with his parents, but he's really with his little phone. He's with his Facebook, he's with whatever little games that he's playing. You know, we wouldn't, one rule we had at my house when I was growing up, you eat dinner together, you talk to each other. We had that time together. We would never have been allowed to bring something like that to the table, or if we'd go out somewhere to eat, to do something like that. It's right to lay those things down because you've gotten addicted to something out there that's meeting your need that's not truly reality. You've got to live in the real world. So, thinking about all the things that we don't absolutely have to have. So Jesus had this to say about what you need and how you can be happy. Is everybody ready? Do you think that Jesus has a good way to understand this? Verse 19, Matthew 6, don't store up treasures here on earth. Oh, don't store up treasures here on earth. I think it's great and fine to have a savings account. I think it's fine to have a retirement plan. I think all those things are fine. We're talking about keeping your mind on this to the point of greed and covetousness and holding back the tithe and the giving to God and giving to the poor. It's a matter of not fixing your heart on treasures. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven. Did you know that every time you give in the church offering, you're sending it to heaven? And the scripture says that those that got there before you do will greet you when you come and thank you for what you've given. Someday I'll preach on that. The only thing you're going to really be able to keep is what you sent on ahead by giving it into the kingdom of God. Store your treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eye is a lamp that, by the way, it's a different translation just to try to keep your attention. Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. He's talking here, don't deceive yourself, is basically what he's saying. You know, if we let the Word of God chart our lives instead of the culture around us, I'm just to be honest with you and say, I really don't want what this world values. I'm thankful for everything that I have, but I've set my affection on things above, and that's the most important thing in my life to me, is serving God, doing what He wants me to do, and pouring what I have into what will please God. Verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for you'll hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, King James says God and mammon, and some people are glad it says that because they don't know exactly what that means. Verse 25, that's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Listen to this statement. That's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? I read somewhere, and I don't know how anybody would have ever done a test on this, that 98% of the things you worry about never happen. It's probably true. You know, there probably won't be a great war before you exit Earth. For example, some people spend a lot of time worrying about some great war. Hey, if there's a war, I've been set here to be light in the darkness. That's what I know about all of that. And I pray for peace and I pray for our leaders, and I am not going to worry about it. And why worry about your clothing? I just won't go off on any of the trails I think of on this. Look, look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, and what will we wear? Don't worry about those things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. So when they dominate our thoughts, we are thinking like unbelievers. Hello? That's what this said. I tell you, not convinced. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Now, listen to these wonderful words of Jesus. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Now, I want to just talk to you for just a minute about this. The reason I started with that wonderful commercial at the beginning, I don't get a commission from Travelers for that. But the reason that I wanted to start with that was that I wanted you to know that this was going to be, that it was going to be lighthearted, in that God is not sad, or he's not morbid, or he's not dark about what our responsibilities are and what he's going to do for us and what his promises are, and about our actually how we look at things and how we worry. I feel that God wants us to be lifted up out of those worries. I feel that he wants us to get to where we can actually, how shall I say this? I wanted to say we can laugh at ourselves, but when we have deep worries, there's nothing funny about it. But want to get to where we can recognize what we're doing and realize that we're doing the very thing that Jesus told us not to do, because he died for the abundant life and everything it is that we will need. And so, as I was thinking about this, sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. That's how King James says it. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Meaning, there's enough evil going on today. Don't borrow any from tomorrow.
That's right.
And here's the other thing. Why worry about how much worse things can get? They always get worse than you ever thought anyway. I never ever dreamed that we'd hear the things on TV that are going on in people's lives, and what sleazy kind of lives people who have righteous talk are living. And yet, I didn't worry about that. I never have really worried about that. And I'm not going to start now. I'll tell you one thing you can do. If you don't like the way they are, you can quit going to their movies.
Right.
Amen.
It's one of the TV channels was so warped during all the political things that were going on. I said, goodbye. You're not in my book anymore, and I won't even watch it for anything. But, you know, you've got ways. You don't have to worry and fume. I can't change cables on TV. I can't change the way movie stars live bad lives. I can't change the way that politicians lie. But I can change the fact if it distresses me or bothers me or worries me. I'm not going to let that thing worry me. But I'm going to pray for a breakthrough revival where the power of the Holy Ghost has a changing effect on anybody within reach of that. This is what we need, to get our eyes up higher than the little worry about things from day to day. And one thing, and I always like to throw out to people to consider this, we worry sometimes, you know, the kids in school, they got to have this money for this and this money for that. And when I was in school, you know, you didn't even have any of these opportunities. We didn't even have like girls' basketball or things like that. You know, I'm supposed to be warped and bitter because, you know, I had a talent in these areas and they didn't let me. I could have, you know, so well, I'm not going to worry about that. Now, children don't have to have everything that's held out. And we need to use wisdom, and don't let children work on you. You're the one with the answers. And we need to decide. We need to give children what's good for them and what will help them. But we don't need to be worrying about, and I know this is why we tell people you wear to church. You know, we're not into what we wear to church. You come as you feel to come. And because people have made clothing too important, made some people feel like that maybe they wouldn't be welcome or something like this. But Jesus said, don't be worrying about what you're going to wear. See, I mean, you know, we've solved all of that. We get the jeans with holes in them, and you don't have to worry about. Then you don't even have to wait for the holes to come so you can throw them away. You got the holes immediately. I don't really know how that all works out, but this is the day. I looked around one day and I just thought, you know what the style is now? Anything.
That's right.
And see, when I see that, I don't worry about it. I wear what I like to wear. I try to look as good as I can. I think we all should. Billy Sunday, you know, he used to preach, what is this about being against makeup? Any old barn looks better if you paint it a little. So we have made things that are not important, we've made them very important. Hey, if you like wearing nice clothes and you can afford them, wear them. Hallelujah. Do the best you can. Don't just be a sloppy person who doesn't care about anything. That's not respectful to the people around you. You know, and Jesus clearly lets it be known to us that we're not to worry about if we got enough money, if we're going to have money. And he says, don't be worried about it. But on the other hand, now he said, you don't have faith if you're always worrying about it. But on the other hand, the scripture says in Thessalonians, but if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. It's all of our responsibility to take care of ourselves with our training, with the intellectual and physical ability that we have, that we put all those to good use. Everybody is responsible to, and we should put our children in a place where they can be trained. But here's another thing. Parents, if you really can't afford to send your child to college, then they need to be working and doing their part in that. Or you need to tell them how important scholarships are before they get there. But don't feel like all of that weight and all that burden. That's what causes people so much worry. Would you believe my house? And you all probably know that I have a doctorate degree. But you know that at my house, when I was growing up, I don't think we ever even talked about me going to college. Is that weird or what? We were all just as happy as could be. Later I heard my mother say to someone, well, if she'd said she wanted to go to college, we'd try to find a way to help her with it. Well, how easy it was. John and I just got married and sent each other to college. Neither one of our families helped us with anything. I mean, it's possible. There's a lot of things that can be done differently from what we're doing. So I just said, the whole thing is, I want us to get free from worry. And anxiety, I don't believe, it's not of God. It's not God's will for us. And worry is something that is cooked up by the enemy telling us lies and the culture that we live in. I don't want to be like the world. I'm not after what they've got. Yeah. I just want what God wants to give me. I want to be a good steward of that. I want to bring Him glory in everything I do. And I want to tell the devil that he doesn't have any place in my life. He's a great God, isn't he? Come on, let's stand together. Let's just commit ourselves to be the people of the non-worry. We're just not going to worry. We're not going to be anxious. But by the way now, even though I've said that, you know that I've had my worried moments. And you know that I've had times that where I have gone through things that really trouble me and bother me, and by no means am I taking it lightly. People go through stress, we go through tension, we go through times we want to say, stop the world, I want to get off, we don't know what to do. with what we're dealing with. Of course, those are times that sometimes we need ministry. And it's good that we have people that can minister to us, share the promise of God, and love us, and give us a hand up sometimes, and help us from one place to another. But I have a strong desire that we not be caught up in worry, and that we not talk about worry. By the way, if someone tells me something, a real need they have, a real worry they have, I set myself to try to help them fix it. That's what I believe in doing. If I can, I will try to get them, help them get into a place where their needs will be met, and take them to the scriptures to pray, where they can reach out with their faith and begin to move into a different place. So Jesus is compassionate, and because he is, he healed people. He met their needs. He fed people that were hungry. And we believe in that. But let's not let the enemy make warriors out of us. Let's bow our hearts in his presence. Lord, we just thank you today that you have made a way for us to be free from worry, free from anxiety. Thank you that you invited us, that we could cast our cares on you, and that you would indeed give us the peace that passes understanding. We just declare today, Lord, we don't have to understand everything. And we just thank you for what you cause us to understand, and for the revelation that you give us. And we leave the rest in your hands, Lord. I pray you lift, Lord, I just pray for anyone here this morning that's in a place of despair or despondency or fear or dread or deep anxiety or worry. While our hearts are bowed in his presence, if you fit that category, I just want you to lift your hand, because I want to pray for you. That despair and fear and dread and doubt, just leave your hands up. Come on, it's okay, because this is a church. We've come here today to roll our cares off on him and have our needs met. Lord, I pray for these that have lifted their hands. They're in a bad place. They need you. They're in a dreaded place, in a fearful place. They don't know which way to turn. They don't know what to do next. And I declare that from heaven comes the answers. And I thank you for revelation by the Holy Spirit. And we're looking to you today, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you are going to grant the peace that passes understanding as they commit themselves to you to walk according to your word, that with thanksgiving they make their needs known and they will fret not. Your word says, fret not. And so, Lord, we give you all that fretting. We give it to you, not because our answers are all solved, but because you said that's what to do. And we don't want to add anxiety to the rest of our pressures. So we just come today and say, I cast all my cares on you, Jesus. And I thank you for a brand new day that I know how to walk in thanksgiving and acknowledging that you will meet every need that I have.
We have a